welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 12 and verse 30, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Dear friend, there are two directions that a person can go. One way leads to destruction, the other will lead to life. Strange as it may be, most will take the broad way that destroys. Now each one of us must make his individual choice who to serve and which direction to go. He cannot decide to just stand still and remain as he is. Life and time and the very nature of right and wrong insist that we be moving one direction or the other. In the Old Testament, there were two ways that people can go that are exemplified by the ways of Cain and Seth and their descendants. And after the murder of Abel, a curse was placed upon Cain, which was, at least he thought, greater than he could bear. Cain had a son whose name was Enoch. Now this is not the famous Enoch who walked with God. Cain's son built a city. And the descendants of Cain are listed in the last part of the book of Genesis, chapter 4. They were a very enterprising, highly skilled, trained, and accomplished people. But they were an ungodly race. Of Cain we read, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel acted by faith, which implies that God had given instructions what was to be done, and Abel did as he was instructed. Faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And by his obedient faith, Abel was declared righteous. Now Cain, he became very wroth and jealous. He even later murdered his brother, even denying his guilt when confronted with it. Where is thy brother Abel? The Lord asked him. Cain answered in a manner to pretend innocence and ignorance, and he said, Am I my brother's keeper? Cain's sins were numerous. He was guilty of disobeying God's instructions regarding the sacrifice. He was guilty of will worship, that is, doing things according to his own will rather than God's will. He was guilty of jealousy and envy and uncontrolled anger and even murder, lying, hypocrisy, attempting to escape personal responsibility. 1 John 3 and verse 12 tells us that he was wicked and his works were wicked. Jude 11 warns of false teachers and he states, Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. And friend, that is a way of woe and sin and death. Now the descendants of Cain continued his iniquity in their own lives. Now they were not guilty of Cain's sins. They were guilty only of their own sins. And doubtless they were highly influenced, however, by their wicked ancestor. There was Lamech, the first polygamist, a man of personal vengeance and murder. Cain's descendants, however, they were not savages, they were not uncivilized, they were not cavemen, but people of exceptional capacity and ability. Jubal was a musician. Jabal was a herdsman. Tubal-Cain was a worker of copper and iron. Some of them were farmers and builders of cities and other accomplishments. They developed a rather high level of civilization and skills. And herein is a lesson that those of us in our own modern and scientific and sophisticated era need to learn. Civilization is not a substitute for proper religious faith. High standards of living in a material world do not replace the necessity of obedience to God. We sometimes hear people extolling the value of education as if that was the solution to all of man's ills. They urge people to develop skills and to train themselves and to have equipment and build schools and universities in order to have a higher standard of living as far as the material side of life is concerned. All such things have a certain value, but that is not the end of the matter. Our nation has the highest standard of living of any nation in the world. Literacy rates are higher than in most places in the world. We have stressed education to the point that some have made learning their God. But all this has not made Americans more moral, more peace-loving, more honest, or more dependable. In fact, as the nation has placed an emphasis upon these things, the lives of people generally have become more corrupt. Sin abounds. Evil is adored. And we have a generation that calls evil good and good evil. Now, we certainly should not be anti-education. But when we stress education to the neglect of the spiritual and religious and moral training, we're only building a nation of civilized animals with great skills. And they are more dangerous than anybody. By education, we only doctor the symptoms of man's degeneracy and never deal with his real problem, which is sin. The nation is suffering from a barrage of misplaced priorities. The development of civilization is proper and can be a blessing, but it also can be a curse when not guided and controlled by faith and morals. Skill is a blessing when seasoned and directed, but skill can be a curse when left without guidance and when considered to be the solution of all of man's needs and wants and goals. Scripture and history are crying out to us to learn this truth before disaster befalls us. The reason nuclear energy is a danger and a threat to mankind is because of the lack of morality among people. That power could be of great benefit to mankind when channeled and controlled properly. But because of the void of faith and ethics that God would have us to follow, we constantly face the danger of blowing the world to pieces. We live in a world with an ever-increasing pressure to suppress the importance of strong moral convictions. Learning that is sought outside the framework of religious discipline from God is one of spiritual cancers that has diseased the educational processes of our nation. A dominant theme among the nation's so-called scholars is to ridicule the reality of God. Their goal is to destroy faith in the hearts and the minds of the young and to replace God, take him off of his throne, put man on his throne in his stead, having the universal edict to simply do your own thing. But no person is truly educated who is ignorant of God's will, regardless of how accomplished he might be in his worldly and intellectual pursuits. He is just a highly trained and knowledgeable creature without restraint. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Psalm 111 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever." When a person respects and obeys God, he is by far a greater contributor to the welfare of his fellow man than all of the so-called wise men and their inventions who do not care for God. The lineage of Cain proved this. They had skills. They had civilization. They had cities. But we have no example of any of them walking with God. As for the relative value of human wisdom to God's wisdom, Paul wrote, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men," 1 Corinthians 1:25. Now what some call foolishness, Paul says, is better and stronger and wiser and more beneficial than the wisdom of men. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." 1 Corinthians 3:19 and 20. Godly people had rather their children learn their ABCs in heaven than to read Greek and shoot rockets in hell. It need not be an either-or situation. One can be educated, civilized, and godly. But the lion of Cain is a lion of human wisdom being placed above God's wisdom, and the result is pride and vanity and sin the exaltation of man above deity, and the rebellion to man's own harm. It is the way of death. Too many are trying to measure God by man's standards, rather than measuring man by the infallible standard of God. This attitude and action constitutes one of the most threatening hazards facing our world. To sacrifice God's truth on the altar of what is called education and scholarship is a demonstration of the foolishness of men. In Genesis 4, 25 and 26, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, while Cain's descendants pursued one course that proved to bring hardship upon themselves and brought more and more sin into the world, Seth and his posterity took another course. They went the other direction. They sought the ways of the Lord. Now, there is not a great amount of revelation concerning Seth and his descendants except this. We do read of one man named Enoch that was seen to characterize that lineage. Genesis 5 and verse 24, "Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." The implication of this statement is that Enoch was of a certain quality of character that God brought him into the halls of immortality and into the presence and company of God. Another descendant of Seth was Noah. He is presented to us as one who walked uprightly before God and his generation. He walked with God, Genesis 6, 9, and he found favor in the sight of God, and he did what the Lord commanded him, Genesis 6 and verse 22. He was the man who lived in the midst of a generation that had decayed to such low levels that God determined to destroy mankind, even repenting that he had ever made man. But Noah was able to be righteous and even rear his family to be upright to the point that God spared Noah and his wife, Noah's three sons and their wives. And this family preserved the human family. Now, we're not to think that the people of Seth ignored the development of their skills and abilities. Noah was able to build the ark, which was not a small engineering accomplishment. The difference between these two families is where they placed their emphasis and what they considered important and how they acted in response to their various and different convictions. The line of Seth enjoyed their fellowship with deity and the blessings of immortality with God, and even are yet noted for the wisdom of their choice of the direction of their lives. They chose life, while Cain and his people chose death. As noted earlier, each one is forced to make his own choice. As Moses neared the close of a life of some 120 years, having spent the last 40 of them leading Israel from Egypt toward the Promised Land, he said to his people, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. In similar fashion, Joshua, who succeeded Moses, as he came to the close of his illustrious career as the leader of Israel and deliverer of Canaan for Israel, he said to his people that he had led, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood," having reference to the swollen Jordan that they had crossed, "and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Friend, as you hear this lesson, please be impressed with the necessity of choosing which direction you will go. In the inspired words of Paul that were written to the people in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. May it be that you will know the salvation that the Lord has promised and go the way that is generally characterized by the way of Seth. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.